Now here's what I want you to do with this list. I want you to go through the list. Now, one item at a time, write down the list. And I want you to give each item a 1, a 3, a 5, or a 10 by saying, that's about a 1-year goal, that's about a 3, that's about a 5, that's about a 10. I want you to look at each item, write down the list, and give it a 1, 3, 5, or 10. Look at each item and say, that's about a 1, that's about a 3, that's about a 5, that's about a 10. Doesn't have to be exact, just somewhere near. Or even if you just guess, I'm guessing that that looks like about 3 years. This looks like about 5. This is within the next year. This is 10. 1, 3, 5, 10. This is going to be so valuable. What's going to be valuable now is when you teach it. You'll learn even more when you teach it. One, three, five, ten. Now remember, some goals are personal, some are family. Right? Here's a family goal. For the kids that aren't here, I'm going to set up a few things for them that I know they want. I want to help them accomplish. Then there's business goals. Some recognition you may want. I can hear the brains working way up here. This is good stuff. Also, you know, if you're married, it's his goals, her goals, and their goals. Our goals, my goals, your goals, our goals. Also, if something's incredibly private, put it in code so in case this list fell into someone's hands, they wouldn't be able to figure it out. What's a star with a circle around it? Well, never mind. It's... Okay, now, here's what I want you to do with this list. I want you to look at each item that you've numbered number 1, and I want you to pick out the 4 most important and identify them somewhere. Either make a new list of the 4 most important 1-year goals, or circle them, or put a star or something beside it. What are your 4 most important 1-year goals? Okay, now that you've picked the 4 most important 1-year goals, here's the next question. Why? why are those four goals important to you? What are they going to do for you? What will they accomplish? Why did you pick those? Why? Why are those goals important? Just three or four sentences. If we don't have time to complete it, you can complete it later. If you have plenty of time doing this workshop, you just take the time. Why are those four goals important to you? Okay, put a little star there now. Those little stars mean finish later. Okay, because you can continue on with this, you know, long after this workshop is finished. And then use it as a model to teach. Remember, study, practice, teach. Now, make these notes. Next, when the why gets stronger, the how gets easier. When the why gets stronger, the how gets easier. When people don't have strong, powerful goals, the how is almost impossible. The how is too difficult. How to do it seems like, you know, how can I ever accomplish this? The how starts getting easier and easier when the why gets bigger and bigger and stronger. Now make this note. Purpose is stronger than object. Purpose is stronger than object. Object can be powerful. Object can be strong, but purpose is stronger than object. One of your objectives might have been $1 million home to live in. Here's the big question. What for? And it's the what for that pulls stronger than the $1 million home. You know, a home is a home is a home. What for? What are you going to do with this place? Well, now we start with the details. And I want you to add this note. It works in communication. It works here, too. The drama is in the details. The drama is in the details. Someone says, I've lost 40 pounds in the last 3 months. We say, is that it? Those are the numbers, but what's the details? How did you feel before? Well, let me tell you what. Now they start the drama by giving us the details. How do you feel now? Wow, what a difference 40 pounds later. And this person starts to describe what it's like now versus what it was like before. The drama is in the details. And this is what you've got to do. $1 million home? What for? So everybody can see it from the street? That's okay, but there's got to be some more reasons. What do you want to do with this home? And then you start saying, hey, it's going to be the center of activity. You can't believe what's going to go on in this home. And you just keep describing it. And that drama now starts to really tap your imagination. And imagination is the beginning of reality. You can't imagine how close imagination is to reality until you start practicing this craft of turning nothing into something, imagination into tangible, the real stuff. How close is the real stuff? You can't imagine how close. If you start tapping into this resource of your imagination so that your purpose becomes much stronger than the object. The object is powerful and it'll pull, but the purpose is unbelievable. We must all pay the price, but the price gets easy if the prize gets large. The price gets easy if the prize gets sufficient. God the Father might have said to Jesus, if you die and make the sacrifice, you become the bridegroom and you inherit the bride. I'm sure he said, that's enough for me. The bride? Yes. Then I'll easily make the sacrifice for the bride. If I become the bridegroom and I get the bride. So the price gets what? Smaller, easier, acceptable if the prize, if the promise has these incredible dimensions, then the price, what a small price to pay. It's like disciplines. What a small price to pay for good health. What an easy thing to do, an apple a day. I mean, a few things gives you such an incredible return that the price almost disappears. Promise is stronger than object. You got that? The bigger and the more powerful the why, the how gets easier and easier and easier. If I said, 3 weeks from now, we're going to do another one of these two-day seminars, and any one of you that will get 30 nice couples to put up the money and attend at this next seminar, a cashier's check will be waiting for you for $50,000. How many of you could get the 20? Here's what you would say, what? Easy. I would say, now we're going to do a class on how to get the 20. You would say, forget the class. Just make sure the check is good. Wouldn't you? Just make sure the check is good. I don't need to know how. I'll figure out how if the money's good. And we've all got that kind of imagination and ability. Somebody says, make it worth my while and see what I can do. Here's what I want you to learn to do. Make it worth your own while. Don't keep waiting for somebody to always come by. If they do, wonderful. What if they don't? Somebody says, I just hope somebody comes by and turns me on. What if they don't show up? Here's what's priceless. Self-motivation. Somebody asked me the other day, who motivates the motivator? I says, well, in my personal case, I motivate myself. I dazzle myself with the potential of sharing ideas and what it'll do for my future psyche of getting all of this wondrous return from people saying, Jim Rohn is part of my testimonial. And it's not just the money and the treasure and the fortune. I've already done that. But the rest of it, I can jazz myself. My own spirit comes along and says, hey, wouldn't it be great? Wouldn't it be great? I said, yes, it sure would be great. Then I'm willing to go do another seminar and work myself to death. Self-motivation, self-control, self-development, self-esteem. And you've got to learn to work with yourself. You've got this capacity. And yes, it's fine if somebody comes along like we've done these 2 days and sort of stimulates. But I want you to learn to do that on your own. Now, here's how you get better at doing it on your own. Do it for others. You say, come on, Mary, you've just been sitting around here. Let's set some goals and see if we can't stimulate you and get you going. She says, well, okay. First thing you know, you've got her going. Then you get somebody else going. The first thing you know, now you get yourself going. Teaching is such an incredible experience. You can't believe what I'm going to do from the imagination that's gone through my mind these last 2 days, teaching you. Some things have become clear to me, and I've set a whole new set of goals. Incredible when you do it, when you teach it. Okay. Now, here's another exercise. I want you to go through this list from 1, 3, 5, and 10, and I want you to count how many 1s, how many 3s, how many 5s, how many 10s, and then make a little tab list. I've got this many 1s, this many 3s, this many 5s, this many 10s. So go through and count them and make a list. Tab list of the 1, 3, 5, 10. Pretty well done. Okay, now I want somebody out here somewhere to volunteer to give me your list. How many 1s, 3s, 5s, and 10s? Right down here. How many 1s?
7.
7. 3s?
7.
5s?
12.
12. 10s?
18.
How many had no 10-year goals? This guy had 18. Isn't that interesting? That means he did a lot of his thinking. How many 1s? Just 7 1s and 18 10s. That's interesting. Because he was doing more thinking way on out. You were doing more current. How many 1s did you have?
37.
Isn't that fascinating? The kind of thinking you were doing and the kind of thinking he was doing. It's interesting. So now here's what you have to say to yourself. I need more 10-year goals. I'm not thinking out there enough. And then you need to say, hey, ones, I need a lot more ones, right? Because I can put a lot of little things on there, right? And keep checking them off every day, every day, every day. So this helps you to sort of get the idea that, you know, you're either thinking too much short term, which is fine to think short term, and you need to think long, tens. And here's why you need some of those long range goals. When the early astronauts went to the moon, a fantastic accomplishment, some of them had incredible psychological problems when they got back. Why? The question was, now where do we go? I mean, when you've been to the moon. And a lot of them had psychological problems because, you know, they did the parades and all that stuff. But when the parades were over, now what? So here's what they learned to do with the later astronauts, because some of them, you know, drank too much and, you know, they had some problems. So here's what they learned to do later to make sure that the astronauts that came back from the moon had plenty more projects to go for after they came back from the moon. And this is what you want now. Plenty more to go for when you've accomplished this. Plenty more to go for. Plenty more to go for. You should have seen my father's list in his 90s. Right? He had a long enough list to live to be 150. What is that called? Plenty more to go for. Plenty more to go for when this is accomplished. Plenty more, plenty more. I'll never run out of objectives and purpose to go for the rest of my life. And that's what this little exercise is for. Incredible. Now, here's the last question. And we're just going to do two or three sentences now, and you can finish it later. But here is the question. What person must I become to accomplish my list of goals? What person must I become to accomplish my list of goals? What person must I become to accomplish this list of goals? Just give that a little thought and jot down two, three, four sentences. Some hard work here, and I'm telling you, the rest will unfold like you can't believe. You can't believe the people I meet 10 years later, 20 years later, saying, Mr. Rohn, that list I made, you know, up at the ranch at Clear Lake, the list I made at that two-day seminar you did, I can't believe I've checked them all off, and I added some more and checked those all off. It's incredible. Once they got going on this, it's just unbelievable. So make a little star there now that says, finish this later. And then I want you to add these notes. My mentor, Mr. Schoaf, when I'm 25 years old, said, Mr. Rohn, I think you should set a goal to become a millionaire. And I thought, well, that'd be interesting. You know, $1 million sounds interesting. And then he added this that changed my life forever. It was a twist on philosophy. Here's what he said. Set a goal to become a millionaire for what it will make of you to achieve it. For what it will make of you to achieve it. I had never thought about that before. The major reason for setting goals is what it makes of you to achieve them. The muscle you must develop, the thinking you must develop, the skills you must develop, the person you must become, what you must know about the marketplace and how to serve the customer and how to do the deal. All the stuff you learn and become and learn and become and learn and become. That's what's valuable. That's why you go for something fairly lofty. Here's what we learn in leadership. Don't join an easy crowd. where the expectations are low or where they don't care. The problem with that is you won't grow. Go where the expectations are high. Go where you're challenged to study, read, change, develop, learn the next skill. Because it's the challenge that creates the muscle. The mental muscle, the vocal muscle, the actual physical muscle to become better, stronger, wiser, more unique. And Mr. Shove said, when you become a unique person worth $1 million, then here's what he said. Now you could give the money away because the money is not what's important. What's important is the person you have become. I got the message. Why would I do a two-day seminar? I don't need the money. Here's what I do need. The continual exercise of challenging myself to search for the vocal answers that helps people to see. To struggle with the vocabulary that tries to make it clear for me and maybe makes it clear for you. Why would I give up that exercise that makes me grow year by year and develop year by year? See, I wouldn't give up this unique challenge to challenge myself, to be up to date, that when the century turns, I'll be ready for it, regardless of age. Age doesn't matter. What matters is state of mind. What matters is skills. What matters is development. What matters is personality. What matters is charisma. What matters is your reach, your influence. What matters is those extraordinary things that all humans can accomplish within themselves. See, that's what matters. And if you stop that process, it isn't a matter of the money stops. What stops is your personal development stops. Lacking now the full distance of your full potential. If that stops, see, that's where you shortchange yourself. So if you make $1 million, should you go for the second million? Yes, for what it might make of you to achieve it. Warren Buffett, I mean, old Warren is worth how much? His stock is like $69,000 a share. And he started right from scratch. And why would he want any more billions? It's not a matter of billions. It's a matter of development. It's a matter of discovery. It's a matter of helping people. It's a matter of fulfilling. It's a matter of flourishing. It's a matter of growing. That's the deal. You don't need another billion. But what you need is the adventure. What you need is the challenge to see if you can't multiply it by two. How about multiplying it by five? How about by 10? Not in unworthy, greedy ambition. No. But just because you don't want to leave your life unfulfilled, you don't want to leave a game unplayed. When your life finally winds down, I got a good suggestion for you. Let the end of your life find you climbing a new mountain, not sliding down an old one. You just keep going for it. Yes, you rearrange your schedule. Yes, you can't put in 14-hour days anymore. But that doesn't matter. As long as you stay active and alive, accomplishing the next project, doing the next deal, touching the next person, building the next organization, the next enterprise, the next investment, the next something that keeps you stimulated and growing, fulfilled. That's the key. To develop a long arm, a long reach. One of the prophets said something unique about God. Said, God's arm is not short. Isn't that excellent information? You can't think of anything more pitiful than a God with a short arm. God can't reach all the way. Why? His arm's too short. No, the prophet said, you don't have to worry about God. His arm isn't short. He can reach all the way. And his arm isn't short. He can reach everybody. See, that's reassuring language. A God whose arm is not short. But shouldn't that be said of every father? His arms aren't short. He's not short on vocabulary. He's not short on stories to illustrate for his kids the point he wants to make. He's not short on research. He's not short on study. Here's a good key phrase. It's okay to be a mother, but you must continue to be a student mother. To study the art of mothering as long as you're a mother. Once you become a father, you must now continue to study the art of fathering. You must constantly study the art of being a better, better, better father, more unique father. As long as you're a father, why not pick up the next idea on how to expand your influence as a father even more, even more, even more? It's okay to be a business person, but here's what you must be, a student business person. If you want to be an entrepreneur, wonderful, but continue to be a student entrepreneur, forever learning how to increase the reach and the dimensions of your craft. Not to be short on vocabulary, not to be short on heart, not to be short on spirit, not to be short on all-encompassing influence. You don't want to be short on these things. So to keep ever, ever, ever expanding the potential of your mind and your spirit and your heart and your soul and your physical capacity, you keep growing. And one of the reasons to grow is to accomplish this list we've just gone through. Let it challenge you to become a unique person of incredible dimensions, not necessarily in anyone else's eyes, but here's where you want to stand tall, in your own eyes. It doesn't matter out there whether someone thinks I'm short or tall, but if I stand tall in my own eyes, because I know my disciplines, I know what I'm doing, I know whether I'm doing it or not doing it. It doesn't have to be published in some local paper, as long as I know that I'm paying the price, that I deserve the applause, that I deserve the prize. That's what's exciting. That's why this goal setting is so important. It challenges you to grow, challenges you to become, to move up the next level. That's key.
To receive more information on Jim Rohn's speaking schedule and products, please visit his website at www.jimrohn.com, where you can also subscribe to receive free the weekly Jim Rohn Easy Newsletter. Or you can call Jim's office at 800-929-0434. In the Dallas-Fort Worth area, please call 817-442-5407. All mail should be directed to Jim Rohn International, 2835 Exchange Boulevard, Suite 200, South Lake, Texas, 76092. Thanks again for listening, and make it your best year ever. Here's to your success.